Am I on? Good. Glory to God. Let me wire it up for sound here. If you need a Bible, if you didn't come with a Bible this morning, please raise your hand and we'll get you a Bible. Don't be ashamed. Just raise your hand high. We want you to be able to follow along in the Scriptures. So raise your hand high. And we'll get you a Bible. Everybody's got a Bible? Good. It's a good thing. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. For our visiting friends this morning, and you're an honored guest, Pastor has been in the book of Romans for quite a while. I, some time ago, started teaching charity. Preaching on charity, teaching on charity from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I want to continue that this morning. If you're a visitor, once again, you're coming in the middle of expository teaching and preaching, and we can't always back up and start the whole thing all over again. But I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we are going to look at verse number 11 this morning. The last time I was in the pulpit, we talked about charity never faileth. And that was in verse number 8. And I'm going to skip ahead just deliberately this morning, verses 9 and 10. And we'll come back to them later on. But I want to go to verse number 11. And if you were to ask the question, define a man for me this morning. And whether a person's saved or lost, that question can be answered. You would have that question answered in a lot of different ways. It's like when you go on the street and you ask somebody, "Can you tell me something? What you know about truth?" That answer, once again, a lot of different ways things get answered. But I want to look. I want to look at the Scriptures today, which is an obvious around here. I've got my own ideas, you've got your own ideas, and they all hold a certain amount of value, I'm sure, but in the end, what I think doesn't matter. Okay, and in the end, and in the bottom line, I'm a bottom line type of guy. If you've been around me any length of time, I have just a way of thinking, And I like all the stuff, and I hang around guys who can walk me through the Scriptures and take me into eternity. But in the reality, what we do around here, we try to bottom line things. And I want to read verse number 11, because the Apostle Paul has defined, we've learned, what charity is. Again, if you read the first several verses, the first three verses, you're going to find out that charity is not necessarily what the world defines as charity. All right, he talks about giving everything you've got. He talks about having your body burned, and on and on and on. And those can be part of it, yes. All right. But he gives us, and I think we've numbered 15 different things, that charity is the God character qualities that now, as a saved man or woman, that God, I've got the love of God, yes, living within me, the person of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God living within me, sealing me under the day of redemption. But this charity, and we're going to stay with the old authorized text, that is our belief around here, And probably every other supposed Bible that's on the market today, at least that labels itself a Bible, changes that word charity to love. All right, love had already been established in the Old Testament. But charity is this working out of the love of God between us, all right? Between the saved people and between, it's a man-to-man and the lost. It's a man-to-man, a woman-to-woman working out of what God has done inside of you. Now remember this. Christianity is not what's going on around you. Christianity is what's going on inside you. Okay? This thing of knowing God is a personal, internalized thing. All right. It's a personal relationship. It's a birth. That's pretty personal. Almost 65 years ago now, almost, my mom and dad, Lewis and Mildred Dean, got real personal one night. And I've been enjoying it for almost 65 years now, but they got real personal with each other, and I was birthed, all right? I was conceived, and you too, all right? You weren't hatched out of a rock. You didn't come from some primordial soup, okay? You talk about faith. That takes a whole lot of faith, man. You didn't come from some primordial soup, and that's a, don't let me get on that subject this morning. But I want to read verse number 11, and then we'll pray. And I want to talk, I want to preach, I want to teach this morning on what's the Bible say about being a man? Now, ladies, before I even read the verse, don't go on automatic pilot. Don't go on sleep mode. I hope you got enough rest last night that you can listen, because this also will apply to you. All right. But Paul's doing the writing and Paul's doing the speaking, and Paul was a man. By the way, I heard on the news, and Debbie, as I was studying on one side of the table and she was computerizing on the other side of the table, she said, listen to this, baby. Lincoln, Nebraska, once in their school system, they want to eliminate gender. Completely. You do not say young man. You do not say young woman. You say person. Or, yes, person. And we know why they're doing that, and they came out and said why they're doing that. There are young people who are given to sodomy. Let's call it what it is. Okay? They're not gay. I'm being recorded, right? I'm going to get in trouble, right? Science might call them homosexuals. Or they're transgender. They don't know what they are. They're not sure. They may change things. So here's where this whole thing has gotten to. Our society is trying to get away from producing men and womb man and women. Okay. So once we do away with that, now we've got no man, no woman. You don't know how to identify God. So now you have to, I think they said something about they're going to call themselves purple something.
Penguins.
Purple penguins. Purple penguins. So in that line of thinking, this isn't my message, but in that line of thinking, I have to address you this morning as purple penguins. Now, this bearded guy right here, my pastor, we're not going to do that. We're going to talk about men. You know what God's interested in? We're going to look at what God says about men. Look at verse 11. Now, he has gone through 15 different character qualities, God qualities, that I need to work out. And now he had verse number 11. The Apostle Paul says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood, as if to say when I was a child, again, I understood as a child. as if to say, when I was a child again. He says, I thought as a child. So he's talking about when I was a child, I spake, I understood, could be synonymous with judgment, being able to judge things. I spake, I understood, I thought as a child. Now he's going to address one of the most carnal churches in the New Testament. All right? And carnality wasn't don't smoke, don't chew, and don't go with girls who do. That's not carnality. If you go to chapter 3, envy, strife, and divisions were the three major proponents of carnality, of fruits of carnality. All right? The Corinthian church had a problem with carnality. I will be honest with you. I think you could say this of every church in America today. I don't care whether you live in... I spent a couple years in North Carolina. I don't care whether you live in the hills of North Carolina or here in our great metropolis of New York City. But here's what he says. But, oh, thank God for the but. But when I became a man. Men, listen to me. When I became a man. And we're going to define from God's word what a man is. You know what we need in First Bible Church? We're going to look at this. We need more men. And you may think, well, I'm a man. Well, we're going to see from the word of God if you're a man or not. Okay? When I became a man, I put away childish things. So, boys, it's time to grow up this morning. Become a man. And you know what men do? They put away. This isn't magic. This isn't David Blaine, smoke and mirrors. This is all work. And I agree with my pastor 10,000 times 10,000. And if you've ever said this, we're not judging anybody. But when somebody says the Christian life is just so hard, do you know why it's hard? Because it's supposed to be W-O-R-K. I never worked at anything that wasn't hard. Even study. I've been studying for a long time just on this message. You know, study's hard. Bible says it's the weariness to the flesh. A man said something in a thank you card concerning our church several weeks ago now. And I read the thank you card and I thought, oh Lord, we're in a dangerous place. And it was said as a point of praise. It was said as a point of thank you. It was said as a point of flattery. But you know what he said in that thank you card? And he's been an evangelist for quite some time now. He said, your church will forever be the standard of what church is supposed to be, in my mind. Yes. Somebody just said, help us, Lord. Because here's what I know. After 40 years of being here, that's a very dangerous place to be. Because you know what the normal progression is, degression? You keep lowering the standard. We live in a world that the standard just keeps getting lowered and lowered and lowered. And yet when I read this book, the standard's way up here. And God doesn't lower the standard. Jesus Christ came down once and he didn't lower the standard. But he came down once. Guess what? He's not coming down to be crucified anymore. The standard's way up here. And you and I, men, you want to be a man? We're going to look at it, God willing. You want to be a man? Let's rise to the standard. I don't care whether you can produce a baby or not. Any 13-year-old with enough hormones can produce a baby. But they're not a man. And we're going to look at the Word of God and see what a man really is. And I'm not casting stones, because you want to know something? As I read this book, Lord says to me many a time, boy, you need to grow up. I love my wife. She's been sick for about a week now, and she'll be back soon, God willing. But every once in a while, we've been married almost 46 years, and I have an attitude most of the time. No, you didn't believe that, did you? That's a shocker, isn't it, brother? Every once in a while, I get wine. You know, my boys, when I worked with my boys, they'd say, Pop, you want some cheese with that wine? You know what they're saying, you know. It's like my wife. You know what my wife does? I'll be saying something, and then she'll go, what are you doing? She's out playing your violin. And she looks across the table, and she says, you know what your problem is? You need to grow up. Now, that's a terrible thing to say to one of your pastors. I need to grow up. You know, that's not very kind. But that's my wife, type of the Holy Spirit of God, one of the things. She's a guide. She's behind the scenes. But you know what we need to do? When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Father, I'm asking in Jesus' name. I've got notes on a piece of paper, and I've done my studying, and Lord, you've helped me, and we've had just a wonderful week together, and sitting and praying and reading and meditating and thinking about you and talking to you. Lord, I don't want this message to be for you. I want it to be of you. So Father, in Jesus' name, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Lord, I want to be a man. Now physically, I'm getting towards being an old man. But Lord, age has got nothing to do with it. And we're going to see that, Father, and I pray that you do the teaching this morning. Lord, I want to be a blessing. I don't want to be a discouragement. I want to be a blessing. Your word has blessed me. And Lord, you do the teaching and you do the preaching. And you give us the understanding, and I'll thank you for that ahead of time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was a child, spake, understood, thought as a child. But he says, when I became a man. And we're going to look at a word. The word became, it's an interesting, it's like an insignificant. A lot of times when we read our Bible, we read it too fast. And you need to slow down in your reading. It's good that you read, you know, your Bible through. We try to get everybody reading it through every year, and at least. But that word became is different than the word was. Suffice it to say that children are not mature in their thought pattern, in their understanding, and which could be also called in their judgment of things. They're not mature in their speech. If you're going to look at some synonyms, words that would be the same as maturity, we would talk about becoming an adult, or we would talk about growing up. We say he's a grown up. What is that? And sometimes we throw 18, 19, 20, 21. I came from a background. My dad's brothers were, dad wasn't so much a drinker, even though he did for a while. But a couple of his brothers, boy, they knew how to drink. So if you could legally get into the bar, okay, then you were a man. All right. Or if you, got drafted into the military. All right. So you see right here and now, you've got some things running through your head as to what determines a man. All right. Now, here's what I want you to see. Why did God bother? Why did the Father bother to create a local church? All right, there's a reason why we're here today. And my pastor does the majority of the teaching, and I fill in where I fill in, and other men, okay. But everything we do, he led the music this morning, did a wonderful job. He needs to do it more often. Did a wonderful job. He did, you know what? We kind of all do the same thing, though. We stop, we meditate on what we're singing, we explain words, and it drives the musicians crazy because they never know when they're supposed to continue to go. But why are we here? We're the body of Christ, and we're the bride of Christ, we're the church. So I could sit at home, and you could sit at home, and we're still the church. I'm still his body as a saved man. But all through this New Testament, God ordained local assemblies. Now, here's what I want you to see this morning. Remember I talked about we need to grow up? That's what you're wanting your children to do. I'm glad my boys are not boys anymore. I'm glad that in a few more days, all three of them are in their 40s. Glory to God. And you know what they have? They've got their own babies now. Sharon will be 17. She got her driver's license. Oh, God. I hope she doesn't drive like Caleb, her father. Okay? Big boy wrecked more cars. But you want to know something? You know what the goal is? Here's the goal. Here is the goal. I don't care what anybody tells you. Here's the goal of why Jesus Christ left us here. He wants us to grow up into Him. Into Him. He wants you and I, men, he's addressing men, but this can go across the board to ladies too. He wants us to go from being children who don't speak right, who don't understand right, who don't think right, that's where it all starts, thought, understanding, judgment, and then speech. He wants us to become mature. He wants us to grow up. Can I take you to Luke? I've read the verse, so let's just move on. Go to Luke. You always want to start with Jesus Christ. Always start with Jesus Christ and everything. Why are we doing what we do? Well, let's find out what Jesus Christ did, all right? Go to Luke chapter 2 with me. Now, I've already said this, and it bears repeating. I am a bottom line type of guy. All right, I'm watching my time. Oh, by the way, turn your cell phones off. For our visiting friends, we have a little law. It came down through executive order, starting with my pastor. We have a little store over here. A little dessert store called Ralph's Italian Ices. And we New Yorkers love Italian Ices. I love Spumoni. Ooh, I can taste it right now. Spumoni. If your phone rings, you get the privilege to buy Spumoni's. Italian Ices. You're laughing. I hope your phone doesn't ring. You left it in the car? You're a smart man. I left mine down on my desk. You get the privilege, if your phone rings, you get the privilege to buy Spumoni's for the entire church. Right after church, we all go up there, 200 people stand in front of Ralph's Italian Icy. Won't that be a sight? So I know you're important. I know President Obama needs your counsel. He does, yeah. Well said, he probably does. Okay, but turn your phone off for Jesus' sake. Somebody might want to get something out of the message today, all right? Starting with this guy. Look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we're talking about the birth of Jesus Christ I just want to read verses 40 and 52. Now, It says, and the child, and the context here is Jesus Christ, because verse 41, now the parents, his parents are going down into Jerusalem. Now we find out in verse 42, he's 12 years old. But here it says in verse number 40, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. Now we know that he was growing physically. But he waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Just jump down to 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. It's not a new theme around here. Go now to 2 Thessalonians. I told you you would need your Bible. We do a great amount of teaching and preaching here. And one of the things we realized, go to 2 Thessalonians. One of the things we realized years ago, the majority of our people have been saved out of Roman Catholicism. They have come to a saving knowledge. They may have had different backgrounds after that. But here's something we realized years ago. That new babe who wasn't brought up in the Bible Belt and didn't have any Bible under their belt to begin with, they had to be taught. So in our preaching, we have to do a lot of teaching. All right. So one of the necessities that you, and one of the things you'll find if you've been here any length of time, is we're going to ask you to bring a Bible and we're going to ask you to turn to that Bible. Because we want you to see what the Bible says, because the religions that you all came out of didn't use the Bible at all. Okay, they didn't use the Bible at all. Used a lot of other things, but not the Scriptures. All right, go to 2 Thessalonians. I want you to look just at how much emphasis God puts on people growing. People growing. Let me just, before I get into that verse, let me just ask you something. This isn't a test. Don't be afraid to, I'm going to ask you something. How many of you were here last Sunday? Can you raise your hand? Just I'm not cornering anybody. We're not cornering anybody. I was here, you were here, okay. Do you remember the message? That message centered around two words. Pardon me? All glory to God. Debt and duty. Romans chapter 15, verse 27. Did you ever take your kids to Sunday school? We used to do that with this with the boys. We lived here most of our lives. But around the table, I'd say, boys, what's the lesson in Sunday school? And they got a little older, and we'd have our devotions, and I'd kind of get into doctrinal things with our devotions. And I asked a question one day to all three of them, and they're only about 2 years apart. And I started with Nate and worked down to Kay and then to Matt. And I said, tell me, you've heard the word saved. How do you get saved? They've been brought up in Christianity. Deb and I got saved right shortly after we were married, and then the boys came along shortly after that. And all they've known is this: they didn't come out of pagan religion. And I'd say, never forget it. Finally, Nate got the drift of this thing, that Dad was going to corner him. So I never knew if my boys were really paying attention or not. Sometimes I thought, man, it's just not happening. But all of a sudden I picked up Nate's Bible one day. Man, he had every question I asked. And he had about 6 or 7 verses for the answer. He finally got the drift, Like, why are you baptized? Why'd you get baptized? Why'd you get saved? Why is that important? Why were you baptized? And finally, he started taking notes. Do you know why I asked that question? We're not here to embarrass you. But do you know why we're here this morning? I like your fellowship. You're nice people.
Jesus Christ.
Right. But what about Jesus Christ? Do you know why you're here today? So that you might grow up in Jesus Christ. I know people who know the verses. I know people who could tell you about Jesus Christ. But they're not men. They're not women in Jesus Christ. And I'll show you why. And you know why we're here? So that you and I, including me, I'm not apart from this. I want to continue. I'm growing just too much this way, yes. My cardiologist says you need to shed a few pounds, about 65 of them, big boy. Okay? I say, yeah, doc, we're working on it, as I eat all the potato chips. I'm working on it. My seafood diet. I seafood. Love it. Do you know why we came? You're here for one reason this morning, and you don't even realize it. Till you might grow up in Jesus Christ. Now, you came for a lot of different reasons. But I'll be honest with you why I'm here. I want to grow up in Jesus Christ, and I want to help you grow up. We need some men. Do you realize how telling it is when somebody says, your church is the standard? That's a big burden to carry. Now, look at 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, and I just want to read 1 through 3. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound, verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith groweth. Is your faith getting any bigger since you've been saved? Amen. Amen. It should. Rest. You know what faith is? I broke it down into that acrostic. Helps me to understand. F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust Him. You're gonna need that when they wheel you in for surgery the next time. You're gonna need that when something comes across your threshold. Regardless of that, though, you know what? You need that this morning. My faith after 45 years of knowing Jesus Christ should have grown and grown and grown. That is why I'm here. That your faith groweth exceedingly. And the charity, there is our charity. And every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Can I just take you to go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, we're just going to look at these verses. They all have to do with growth. Growth. I spoke to a man not too long ago. And he said, "Well, you know me, brother. I just worry about everything. You know, I worry about this and I worry about my retirement. And I worry about the love of my wife. And I worry about, you know, is the house going to sell? And I worry about, is my car... I get it in my car and I worry that the car won't start." And he said, but I really love the Lord. Okay? Is your faith growing? Pastor read Psalm 37 this morning. And after all those things were listed, and the very end thing, and there's probably a few more after that, But it like summed it all up in rest. Rest. See, I can't say I have faith in God and worry at the same time. I'm not going to tell you I don't worry about it. And you know what we do? We mask it and we say, well, I just have great concern. Don't get highfalutin on me. Don't tell me, I've said it myself. I just am concerned about her, you know. When I get all by myself, Lord says, you know, you're really worrying. You're worrying. You're worrying it's not going to turn out the way you want it to. When either let me go back to my statement. Either God's in control of everything or he's in control of nothing. You can't have it both ways. And it's not always going to go the way. Good night. You know what? You remember when you were a child? Didn't you want everything to go your way? It's the truth. I was all of 10 years old, and a guy gave me a soapbox derby car. I found it in the attic of his garage. And I'm going to tell you a story. I'm not proud of it. His grandfather had made it for him, a soapbox derby car. All right. And it was it wasn't actually running a soapbox derby in Akron, Ohio, but it was very similar to it. But it didn't have any wheels. And he saw I loved it. So he gave it to me. My oldest brother was a friend of one of the guys in that family. He gave me that imitation soapbox derby car. And we got it home. It's pretty light, made out of light wood, but didn't have any wheels. And I asked Dad. Dad didn't, we were squeaking by. He's just a common laborer in a rubber factory. And I asked him about it. I said, Dad, do you think you could buy some wheels for me? And he said, well, let's wait and see. All right. He priced them out. I wanted some balloon tires. And he said, Pat, this is what those balloon tires are going to cost. And I don't know if I could buy all four of them. Maybe one a month or something like that. But you know what my problem was? I wasn't grown up, and I wasn't willing to wait. And you know what I did? I smashed that soapbox derby car with a hammer. I'm not proud of that. To this day, I'm 65 years old. You know what that bothers me to this day? And my dad walked out there, looked behind the garage. There's a little shed behind the garage. And he saw I had smashed that thing. And I watched his face. And he felt guilty because he thought, you know why that boy smashed that? Because I couldn't get him those tires. You know, it's not always going to go the way you want it to go. That doesn't mean God's not in control. Amen. I got to stop being a child. It's time for Pat Dean to become a man. Me too. Me too, brother. You know what we need? You know what we need to get together? You know, I'm not a promise keeper. That's nonsense. You know, building bridges, building men. Yeah. But you know, want to know something? This is a place where God wants to build a man. We need to grow up. Look at 1 Peter 2:2. Now our visitors think I'm crazy already because I have pounded on this pulpit already too much. I will go home this afternoon and all of my fingers will be black and blue. I pounded on this pulpit so much one day, I actually broke my wedding band and got home and I thought, why is that pinching my finger? And when I took it off, and this is my wedding band, yes, it doesn't look like one, but it is. And I had to have it redone there. But I want you to wake up. That wakes me up, you know, when I do that. I need to wake myself up. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And I just want to read verse 2. Or I'll read verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and all and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as, the word as from the book of Proverbs, you have as and like. As means same, like means similar. As newborn babes, just like those newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Now watch what it says. That ye may grow thereby. Why do we tell you so much? There's sometimes I get in this pulpit and I say, Lord, I am going to say the same thing I have said for 40 years.
Say it again.
Yeah. But you know what the Lord says? Say it again. Say it again. I know we're close. We're very close. You know, I know he feels that way sometimes. It's like, but Mel Sabaka told me something. I did listen sometimes. He used this illustration. He said, if you throw enough dirt at the wall, some of it sticks. If you throw enough dirt at the wall, you know what it says there? As newborn babes. Is that what you want to be today, though? You don't want to be a baby, do you? Me neither. It says, desire the sincere milk of the word, because that's what babies, I'm going to be honest with you. I know some of you drink milk in your coffee and milk and you still like it. I haven't drank milk, I don't know how long, man. I gave up milk right from the breast of my mommy, I think. But it was like, you know what? That's what babies, you don't feed babies with strong meat. But I got news for you. I got three boys. They're all in their 40s right now. And I had a hard time keeping them fed. Because they got to the point where a glass of milk just wasn't enough. Cereal just wasn't enough. They were growing. They were packing on the pounds. And man, they could put the meat away. And if you put a chicken down, you better be on the ball at the table, because the whole chicken was eaten before you even pulled up to the table. I don't know how little girls are. I just don't know. I never had them, besides my wife. Well, I can tell you a lot about little boys. 9 times out of 10, they can eat. Because they're growing. Let me ask you this. Are you hungry for the Word of God anymore? Are you hungry? Are you hungry? We got a few young men. They're actually up in the camp right now. They're in between jobs. And you know what they're doing? They're actually happy they don't have a job. So I said, don't get married, because you're going to have to get a job. Okay. Don't get a wife and don't get babies, because you're going to have to work. You've got a good place. But you know what they're doing? Every day, 5, 6, 7 hours a day, reading their Bibles. You know, because they're in that place where they can do that. Now, once they start working, then they're going to have to get up 2 hours early. Or they're going to have to stay up 4 hours late. Okay? Get up early. My one boy used to ask me, Pop, why do you go to work so early when you don't have to be there until 6? Why do you get up at 4 o'clock? Because I had to read my Bible. Because, you see, I was hungry. Hungry. I hope you're still hungry. Because, you know, a man looked at our church and said, this is the standard. Oh, dangerous. Go look at. Let me just give you. Go to 2 Peter. I had you in 1 Peter. Go to 2 Peter. Go to 2 Peter with me. And just look at verse 18. That your faith might grow exceedingly. Just look at verse 18. Here's the word grow again. God seems to have this affinity toward growth. Growth. Now, I come from a particular background. I've said that to you before. I come from a particular denominational background, and it's all good. Don't misunderstand me. But I come from it from a time when it was right after World War II, where churches grew, and the church that we left was averaging almost 6,000 every Sunday. Almost 6,000 every Sunday. 1975 when we left it, that was the average. But just because there were bodies in seats didn't mean that everybody was growing. Go to 2 Peter with me and look at verse 3 and verse 18. He says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge. So grow in grace and grow in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. To grow in grace. To grow in knowledge. That's why I asked what I asked about Pastor's message last week. Two words. Two words. Debt and duty. But if you didn't remember that, maybe it's because you weren't paying attention. Maybe it's because, but that was the main point. You missed the whole thing if you didn't listen to that. Maybe you had your mind on something else. You weren't paying attention. Maybe you just, I don't always take notes. I write things down just to remind myself on things. But I'll be honest with you, I don't always take notes. But I go home and I try to remember. You know why? Because I need it. And I want to grow. See, this isn't magic. And we say that so much. Now, the answer to this thing of why did the Father create the local church, the answer is very, very simple. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 with me. Ephesians chapter 4. This text is used so much around here. Galatians, Ephesians chapter 4. The answer, the bottom line to this is God wants me to grow up unto the measure of Jesus Christ. The key to this thing is I need to think, I need to understand, and I need to speak as Jesus Christ did all those things. That's what he's trying to get me to do. And I want to digress. I want to devolve back into the way I thought, the way I judged things, and the way I spoke as a child. And there's the constant battle that Paul wrote about. And lay it out for you right now, folks. And I agree with my pastor 100%. We need to stop saying, whining, but I won't say whining, even though I just did. We need to stop thinking and saying, you see, and we need to stop judging our Christianity and saying, this is just hard. That's why, you know why it's hard? I said it. It's work. Didn't Paul write in Philippians, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? Everything you know now in Jesus Christ is diametrically opposed. It's pushing all the time. Everything around you is pushing and pushing and pushing against that book. That book. Now, Lincoln, Nebraska, or someplace in Nebraska, I think Nebraska, I think of all the states, Nebraska. I could see New York doing that. Nebraska? This never sounded right to me. We're not going to call people men or women or boys or girls. We're going to call them purple penguins. Does that even make sense? Do you know more and more, I said this to some of the guys I'm discipling, I tend to use the word bizarre more and more in my conversation with people. I used to say, you know, just it's strange. And it's just hard to understand. But I find myself, after I'm listening to what I just said, I've used the word bizarre about 12 times as I talk to that person. It's just bizarre. It's just bizarre. It's just bizarre. You know, because it's like, because it is bizarre. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 with me. The answer is simple. I need to grow up. When I became a man. Do you know, I'm going to plug this in before I read this. Do you know that children are birthed, but men are built? I won't even charge you for that one this morning. You can tell Louise, don't put any more into my paycheck this week for that. I'll just give you that one for free. Children are birthed, but men are built. I'm also convinced it takes a man to build a man. I love you, ladies. If you don't know I'm in your corner, you haven't been paying attention. Okay? But I know this. Women can't build men. It takes another man. It takes a man. Not just somebody who is of a certain age. It takes a person who loves Jesus Christ, spirit, soul, and body. It takes that kind of man to build another man who you know why I was attracted to Mel. I've admitted this more than once. At the age of 25, I didn't love Staten Island. I wasn't burdened for the New Yorker. I am now. Yeah. But I couldn't separate myself. I wasn't a man yet. I was 25, married, with three small boys already, Deborah and I, but I knew in my heart of hearts, I was not a man. Because I didn't know how to love Jesus Christ yet. I wasn't at that place where I could stand on my own and reproduce myself into another man spiritually. So I stayed under his wing. Stayed. Now, I don't need to be under his wing. He's in heaven now. But I don't need to be under his wing. But I was 25 years old, saved, and I knew I wasn't a man. Because I still thought like a child. I still judged things as a child. I still spoke like a child. Go to Ephesians with me. You're there. So am I. Starting around verse 7. Now this is such a familiar portion of Scripture to us. It says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." I'm reading 4:7 of Ephesians. "Whereunto he saith, when he ascended up on high," all right, he's ascending, he's resurrected, he's ascending, "he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men." All right, the captivity of Abraham's bosom is going to be taken now, all those captives prior to his resurrection, the righteous of the Old Testament and pre-resurrection saints. "He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Now, 9 and 10, we always say this, it's a parenthetical thought. You have a parenthesis in verse 9 and the end of the parenthesis in verse 10, simply meaning, and every parenthetical thought is important, but you can remove that parenthetical thought and the contextual thought will continue. All right? So from 8, I would jump down to verse number 11. And it talked about in 8, and he gave gifts unto men. Look at now verse number 11. "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Now, why did he do that? Why? What's this church about? Some people say we're a cult. Nobody's tying you to the polls, you know. Nobody's forcing you to give your estate to First Bible Church. I mean, if you just, I know, who was that, the Attorney General? She thinks we're a cult, whatever her name was. Look at verse number 12, though. Why? 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 You know what the word perfect means? It doesn't mean sinless. It means mature. It means complete. It means full. It means grown up. For the perfecting, why did he give some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some, we're down to pastors and teachers today. Why did he do that though? Why? And he's talking to a church of Ephesus, the Ephesians. A local assembly in a city, just like us. For the perfecting of the saints. Grow up the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And I won't read the rest of it, but you can read. Matter of fact, look down to verse 15. I need to read that. He doesn't want us, he wants unity. But I want you to notice, he didn't say for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the... You know where he started? Us. You got it, Chris. Us. I need to grow up. I need to grow up in Jesus Christ. I need to grow up. I need to start thinking more and more and more and more like this Bible. That's why they want this book out of our society. That's why no men, no women, now we call them purple penguins. Because I didn't read that in my Bible. Where's purple penguins in this book? I've read it a few times in 45 years. But look at verse number 15. Why perfect the faints? The saints, rather. Why perfect the saints? Why get the saints to grow up? See, when you're saved, you're a saint. You may not think that, you may not act that way, but you are. But he wants you perfected. That's why we go to the extent that we do. That's why we're always telling you, if you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. That's why you must. I don't know what your diet is of the Scriptures, but I can tell you this. If you don't have a good diet of this book every day, you're proverbial lost in the snowstorm. You're going to end up calling your children purple penguins. Okay? Look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love. Oh, my word, God just going to tell me to grow up. My wife must read her Bible. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Grow up. Grow up. I'm going to jump ahead because our time's running out. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 11 with me. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to look at a man that we've, once again, I know I've taught this particular verse so many times. But if I want to become a man in Jesus Christ, you know what he said back there in 1 Corinthians? You need to go, you're in Hebrews 11. He said back there in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I became a man, I put away childish things. This is the reason some of us in this room today and beyond this room will not become the man God wants me to be or the woman God wants me to be in Jesus Christ. Because that verse ends in 11 by saying, and I put away childish things. Now, I'm not going to tell you how to live. But I want to look at Moses. And we're not going to tell you, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. I am going to tell you, the more you read this Bible, you know what the Spirit of God's going to do? The Spirit of God's going to tell you how to live. I don't feel I have to tell you how to live. If you're saved and reading your Bible, now the reason I know that some of us aren't reading their Bible or absolutely ignoring their Bible, and I believe they're not reading it, and I believe also they're ignoring it, is because all I got to do is talk with you for 15 minutes and watch you for 10 minutes, and you've got a problem that you're trying to balance God with the philosophy of Pharaoh. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to be a man. Do you know that Moses just started to become a man when he was 40 years old? And God really didn't finish building the man until he was 80. Whew. And he died when he was a buck 20, 120. So that process can go on a long time. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. And go to verse number 23. Verse 23 says, by faith Moses, when he was born, okay, there's the child, was hid 3 months of his parents, Amram, Jochebed, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. children were being slaughtered. Verse number 24. By faith Moses, look what it says here, when he was come to years, he's 40 years old when this happens. You can go back into Acts chapter 7 and read about that. You'll get the numbers. Now look what it said. When he's just starting. Now, he is physically a man. I'm not denying that. But he, even up to this point, has not been used of God. He's been schooled in the philosophy of Pharaoh. His speech is Egyptian. His speech, his mannerisms, his thinking pattern, his judgment, his thought, his judgment, his understanding, and his speech is entirely Egypt. But he has not forgotten who he is. And verse number 24 says, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Let me tell you what I see here to begin with. When you start to become a man in Jesus Christ, and I'm going to take it across the gender board and say a woman in Jesus Christ, is when you come to the realization and you can make a choice and you can refuse the evil and choose the good. Refuse the evil. Man, all you got to do is put your feet on the floor of your bedroom after a night's sleep. I can even dream evil. And I'm not proud of that. I can be praying and be in a honest before the Lord. Sometimes I can actually get into a zone with God. Sometimes I just get my heart so right in the thing, and I'm just wanting to commune with my God. And right in the middle of a good godly prayer, some evil comes right in there. You know why? Well, I didn't get saved until I was 20, and I put a lot of evil in there in the teen years. But you want to know something? There's evil. There's evil all around us. I can't hide. But right in the middle of a good godly prayer, I got to stop and say, Father, oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Forgive me, Father. I didn't want to go there. And he'll say, just continue. It was a good conversation. I was enjoying the conversation, Pat. Just continue. Don't worry about it. But you know what? You know where it starts with a man? Now listen to me. You guys need to get to the point where somebody say, well, you need to tell me. You need to give me a list. If Pastor Mike and you would just sit down, all the deacons, and just give me a list of all the wrongs, all the things I shouldn't do. God gave you a list right there. Here's your list. Here's what I know about being saved. When that still small voice of God reaches down inside you and says, wrong, wrong, wrong. And I say, but I really enjoy the taste of that, God. Wrong, wrong. Does that glorify me? Does that place bring praise to God? You know what? The Spirit of God is going to tell you to refuse. And when I take my step in the right direction and I refuse it, I start growing as a man. But when I go to the other side and I indulge my own tastes, God says, well, you're still a child. Still a child. And you know what? I'm going to treat you like one. You know, as a man, I don't like to be treated as a child. That's the truth. Men don't like to be treated as children. But you know what? You know what God has to do with us sometimes? He has to treat us men like children. Refuse. You know what Moses, you know what the first thing he did? He got to a point where he said, I refuse. I refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I refuse. I refuse to let the philosophy of Pharaoh dictate my life. I'm still going to call my boys, boys. I'm going to call my granddaughters, my little sweeties. I'm going to call them my babies. I'm going to call them women. Sharon will be 17. She's a woman. Almost. Got her driver's license. Rite of passage, I guess. You know what we need to do? We need to learn to refuse. Can I take you just for a thought? And I'm wrapping this up. Go to Isaiah. Go to Isaiah with me. Isaiah 7:15. Isaiah 7:15. Quickly go there with me. Isaiah, this is the verse 14. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel. That's God with us. If you look at 15 and 16, there's an interesting thing that's said. Butter and honey, get there quickly with me. Butter and honey shall he eat. That he, and now look what it says here. Butter and honey, all right? You can follow that through the scripture. It's a good thing. Butter and honey shall he eat that he may, that he, this child, this son that shall be given, this virgin and bear a son shall conceive this child and call his name Emmanuel. But look what it says in 15. Butter and honey shall he eat that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. If you're still playing around with the evil, and if you don't want to make tough choices, I'm sorry, guys. I don't care what your age is. You're not a man of God. And I'm not either. This is a level playing field. You got to refuse things. You got to refuse them. You just got to refuse them. Somebody will say, well, there's that Christianity again, stopping me from having a good time. Let me tell you what. There was nothing I did prior to 20 years old that was a good time. All it did was scar me, even for a short period of time in my teen years, enough to scar me that I can't even pray right anymore and have to stop and ask God to forgive me. That's what all of that, well, the good time. Good time. Remember the Marlboro man? That's a good time. You know he died of cancer, right? Did you ever grow up with a drunk? Yeah, some of you have. My dad wasn't a drunk, but every Friday night, he'd go down to the local bar and he'd get his six-pack of beer, and he'd come home, and he wasn't a good drunk. He'd never just drink one beer. By the way, he did it on Saturday night when we went to church on Sunday morning. Wasn't saved. Oh, we went to church. But he had to drink all six. But then he got a little feisty. He got a little mean. You know, somebody says, God, take all those guns out of people's hands. I don't care. Take them out. Do you know there's more people killed by drunk drivers every year than there are by firearms? Let's take the liquor out. Let's take the beer out. Oh, yeah, you know why they don't. The Senate's full of drunks. Congress is full of drunks. The White House is full of drunks. And there's way too much money being made on the drunks. Amen. So don't tell me, oh, I just want to have a good time. We've got to learn to refuse. Next time you go to your computer, you know what you have to do? You have to refuse things. You know why I do watch a little TV. You know why I channel surf? All of a sudden, some man's kissing another man, a woman's kissing a woman, and I got to, I don't want to watch that. You know, let me go to the History Channel. They don't kiss each other on the History Channel. Can I take you back to Hebrews now? I know we're running out of time. He refused to be called the son of, I want to be a man. I got to learn to refuse. Look at verse 25 of Hebrews 11. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Choose the people of God. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to hesitate in saying this anymore. Not that we ever did around here. You know where you need to be on Sunday morning? Right here. Amen. Get your butt in one of these padded chairs. They're comfortable. I like them. It's not magical. But I can tell you what we need to... Your neighbors need to know whose side you're on. Don't be afraid of your Bible. Put it under your arm. Get your wife and your little ones. Get in that car and you come to church. Amen. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Pastor's verse. You know why? We're seeing the day approaching. Well, I can serve God. I take a vacation every once in a while. So does he. It's no big deal. Deacon's like, take a vacation. Go away. I can serve God on the links. I didn't climb out of from under the rock yesterday. No, you can't. Don't tell me you can. And I know some of you are mad at me, and I just don't care. I like to shoot pool. I can tell you one thing. Where I used to shoot pool, they ain't praising God there. And I like to shoot pool. I really do. I got halfway decent at it. Choosing. Choose the people of God. Look what it says in verse 20. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Esteeming Christ. If you go back to Deuteronomy 32, it says they lightly esteemed. What do you value today? Do you realize this is the road to manhood? What do you value? I'm not saying I don't value my wife. Oh God, I do. I've got boys, they got wives, I got grandbabies. I live in a nice house, church owns it. I drive an old car, it still runs good, wonderful. There's things I value. But you better esteem Christ. You better value Jesus Christ. Now here's where the rubber is meeting the road. If you can't, if you got any problem with all this, I don't care how old you are, you're not a man of God. If this place is going to be the standard, then we need to buckle down and make it the standard. We need to stop acting like children. And we need to start making some men, men, and some women, women. We need to start being what God... Isn't it the Marines? Aren't even the Marines looking for a few good men? And boy, I salute. I salute our military. I do. I love those guys. But you want to know something? God's looking for a few good men too. And if you got a problem refusing to be called and you just don't want to, you want to dabble and mix and match Jesus Christ with your little sin on the side, or you can take or leave the people of God. I understand personalities. God, I got one like a rock. You know, that's got nothing to do with it. If you got a problem with choosing the people, if you'd rather be somewhere else on a Sunday morning than right here in First Bible Church, this auditorium is only going to hold so many people. We're not saying this trying to get this place just to brim over with people. But you want to know something? You better choose the people of God. Firstly, you're going to spend eternity with me. Woo-hoo. Thank God for a glorified body and a mind and a personality. How about respect unto the reward? All right, esteeming for he had respect in verse number 26 unto the recompense of the reward. Respect. How about the next one? He talked about. Look at verse number 27. By faith he forsook Egypt. Now he had it made. He was the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. And all, from what I could read, he's about second in command. He's at the top of the heap. And you know what he decided to do? He decided to forsake Egypt. Forsake it. I'm not saying quit your job. I'm not saying this, but you want to know something? Up here, you got to forsake Egypt. Because Egypt is feeding us with a lie. Egypt is saying bigger is better. Take your finances and invest them wisely. Let me tell you where I came to this. I don't have many, but I came to this grand conclusion long time ago. You know where I'm putting my money at? Right up there. I'm going to put my money in this. Okay? That's where I'm going to put my money. And when a couple comes through and they're wanting this into people's lives, I'm going to help them as much as possible. Now that I'm on that, we're going to finish. Don't worry, you're not going anywhere. Can I take you to the book of Ephesians? Hold Hebrews there. Can I take you to the book of Ephesians? Go to chapter 4. We don't talk about money around here. We really don't. God's just been amazing. He really has. We're not twisting anybody's arms. Do you know why you have a job? Yeah, oh God, I gotta pay my mortgage. Yeah, okay. I gotta eat. Okay. I gotta clothe my kids. I gotta pay for my car. I gotta live. Okay. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Now see, let me tell you what my problem is, just in my own life. I read the Bible. That's my problem. I read the Bible. And then God says, well, now that you've read it, what are you going to do about it? And it's like, oh, Lord, can't you just let me read it? just let me read it. The Lord says, yeah, okay, that's good. But I want you to do something with it. Okay, I want you to do something. Now, look, I'm just going to read. Verse 21 says, if so be that you have heard him. I love you. Glory. Let's read. 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There you go. I got to start thinking right. And that you put on the new man. Okay, now I got to put something on. I can't stand there naked. I put off all this, the old robe. And now I'm standing here naked, Lord. And God says, well, I don't want you to be naked. So let me give you something to put on. That you put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, now watch this, putting away. Notice putting away, putting away, putting away. I thought it was magical, Lord. No, you got to do something. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one of another. Be ye angry, sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Now watch 28. Let him that stole, because that's what some of us did prior to being saved. Oh, I might not have held up a bodega, but I was cheating God here, I was cheating this, and I was cheating that. Always trying to cut a curb and cut something off. Let him that stole steal no more. Got to put on a new man. Let him that stole steal no more. Now watch the rest of this. I didn't write this, by the way, but I read it. I read it a lot, and I say, Lord, oh, I'd like to do this. I really would like to do this, Father. God says, just be patient. I'll get you to a time in your life, and you can do it. You can do it the way you really want to do it. But rather let him labor. Oh, God, labor. He wants too much of me. Working with his... He's going to labor. He's not going to steal. Now he's going to work. Now he's going to labor for his lunch. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good. Why? Why do I have this job? I didn't write it. Don't throw stones at me. That he may have to give to him that needeth. You know why God gave you work? So you can help somebody else. He didn't say you can't have a house. I didn't say that. God lives somewhere. He can't live in your car under a bridge. You can, but it's not very wise. I don't want you to be homeless. But you want to know something? If God's blessed you, I mean, let me tell you a little story. I'm going to have to quit. I know. I don't remember the year. Had to be in the 80s. Man had a problem. And one of his children was in a hospital over in Brooklyn. And man was out of work. And I'll never forget it. He stood right there. And he was broke. And I knew it. And nobody else seemed to be paying attention to the fact that he didn't have gas in his car. And he couldn't get over. And to this day, that man tells me this story. And he didn't have any gas. And his child was in a bad way in the hospital over in Brooklyn. Over Manhattan, excuse me. And I knew enough to know that he didn't have any gas. But he wouldn't tell anybody. He told his God. Now I was just working in trucking. I didn't have a lot of money. And I don't always bring my wallet to church. But that night I did. And I reached in my wallet. And I had $20. That's all I had. And no big deal. But I gave that $20 to this man. And it was as if I had given him $10,000. Because now he could put gas in his car and he could go over to see his son. Do you know, to this day, that man will tell that story to his church? And it was just $20. And I didn't... I'm not looking for... But you know what? I got around people who just believed that they could refuse and they could choose and they could esteem and they could respect the reward and they could forsake Egypt and they could keep the Passover and they could live by faith. And you know what? I've watched God do some things just in my own thinking. If you want to become a man, this is the road. We just read something. God will give you something just to see what you're going to do with it. Maybe he's going to give you a heartache. Oh my. That's a rough road. Maybe he's going to give you that child that's sick unto death. Maybe he's going to give you that daughter who just is going to end up on a surgical table. And all he wants to see is, are you going to be a man or are you going to act like a child? You know, I want to be a man. I'm done. Not much of a conclusion, but you know what we need? We need men. We need women. We need to stop acting like spiritual babies. Not all of us. But somebody said this place, in his mind, was the standard. Oh, what a frightening statement. What a frightening statement. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I hope you're saved, and we're not going to go into long, lengthy invitation. You know what we do here. I'm going to trust my Father, my Savior. But maybe you don't understand anything about Jesus Christ, anything about God. And the world has spun off some idea as to what is a woman, what is a man. And God set that bar very high. I didn't become a man. Firstly, I was just a child in my thinking, even at the age of 20. Father, husband. But knowing Jesus Christ is where you start becoming a man. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. So if you're in here today and you've never received Jesus Christ, it's got nothing to do with confirmation or baptism or any of the things that perhaps you were brought up with. Would you not be willing just to let somebody with an open Bible just show you what God said? Once again, my opinion is not worth anything. Would you not be willing just to let somebody with an open Bible just show you? We're not wanting to trap you. All we're wanting to do is show you. And then you make the choice. If you're here today and you've never come to that place of a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, would you let me pray for you? I won't call your name. I just want to pray for you. Is there anybody here like that and said, Brother Pat, I'm religious. Me, I was too. I was a good Baptist. But I don't know Jesus Christ. This God that you're talking about, I don't know Him. I don't know Jesus Christ. I know about Him. Would you raise your hand, just let me pray for you? Just raise it right now. Don't be ashamed. Nobody's going to call you out. Perhaps we're all saved. All right. Christian? You know what God says to me as of late? And I'm tipping the scale at 65 here. It's not like I'm a youth anymore. I need to grow up. I need to think, judge, and speak like a man of God. How about you? It's time to put away childish things. Congregation. Let's stop talking the fight and let's live it. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this morning. I want to thank you that